Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Follow KFH Radio and start listening. AUDACY. Odyssey.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Hey, Wichita, it's Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily coming up next exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hi, I'm Mike Yam with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The 2024 NFL Draft might be over, but teams are still adding talent to their rosters. The Commanders have signed former Notre Dame quarterback Sam Hartman to one of the biggest unrestricted free agent deals so far this offseason. It includes a guaranteed $225,000 base salary and a $20,000 signing bonus. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor confirmed following the draft that Cincinnati will not be trading Pro Bowl defensive end Trey Hendrickson. He previously requested a trade from the Bengals on April 24th over contract concerns. And former Iowa punter and Ray Guy Award winner Tory Taylor received a congratulatory text from his new starting quarterback, Caleb Williams, not long after he was drafted by Chicago in the fourth round. Williams jokingly wrote, "Hey, you're not going to be punting too much here." This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. We get the week started here. After a very busy weekend, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Kester, alongside Jad Chambers, manning that IHOP hotline, and we are ready to rock and roll today as we make our way into now, I guess it's the NFL, I don't know, preseason? But we're through the draft. We'll take a look at that, of course, with the Chiefs and with some other teams, some of our favorite things that happened, who really got away and got some good stuff in the draft. We'll talk about that, of course, on the show today. Another weekend of Royals baseball that we'll certainly get into today as well. Some big, movement, player movement in the college ranks over the weekend. We get Dylan Edwards and his commitment to K-State. Certainly a big deal for the Cats football team. Reunites with Avery Johnson, one of his best pals, in just a wild story and, return now to Manhattan for Dylan Edwards. That'll be a lot of fun to take a look at. It's a great time of the year. I love it. We've got the draft in the books. Now you get these rookies. You get to get them into camp and see them work. It's a quarterback-loaded class, which is always interesting. Plenty of all of that to get into today. As we look back at the Chiefs draft, and, when we last left you, they had made one pick, right? Xavier Worthy of Texas. Fastest guy in the draft. You saw his 40 time, all that stuff. I've seen very mixed reviews on him as a prospect, but he's clearly a guy the Chiefs wanted, targeted, and moved to get. They traded with the Bills. They get him out of that trade, and Jaden Hicks, more on him in just a second, a safety in the fourth round. I thought one thing that was really interesting about the Chiefs draft here is that all but one of their picks came via, not necessarily in this draft, but the draft picks were all traded at some point in time, except for the fourth round pick of Jared Wiley, the tight end out of TCU. That's it. And so that's pretty wild to think about how much they've moved around and maneuvered and done these things. So, their first two picks are the two positions we identified as clear needs, which was wide receiver and tackle. They ended up with a corner, but not until the sixth round. So that becomes a bit of a question. Kamal Haddon out of Tennessee is who they took. Most places grading that pick fine. Most places grading all the picks fine. The Chiefs, by the way, Warren Sharp, you've probably heard of, analytics guy. He loved the Chiefs draft. I think, picks over value, some metric he used. He called the Chiefs, I believe, the third best draft. I think it went Lions, Dolphins, Chiefs, according to that metric. And again, this is all, I love looking at that stuff and people like making their decisions on a draft right now. Like, I don't know historically how good that is, but all those are doing is are saying, here's where they were expected to go. Here's where they got them. That's a pick over value. But at the end of the day, it only matters about the evaluation of the player. But we'll get into all of the Chiefs draft here. We've got the IHOP hotline open at 869-1240. I want to remind you that mornings at KFH, the staff here enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Got us fueled up and ready to roll on this Monday, get this week started right. We'll have some giveaways later in the show. We'll give away some HTO iced tea, some HTO coffee from Free Reign. So we'll do that throughout the show. Lots of good stuff to do. Let's get it started on the phone lines. The IHOP hotline is hopping already. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Anthony, what's on your mind?
Well, I heard your introduction, and I know you was talking some draft talk, but I guess the real buzz is the Dylan Edwards making the commitment to Kansas State, because if you recall, that's who Avery Johnson was trying to recruit the first time around, and he ended up going to Colorado. I guess
he ended up going to Notre Dame and then Colorado.
Then Colorado, because Deion been following his kid since he was 4 years old. I'm like, okay, now who follows the kid since they were 4 years old? Now, come on now, give me a break on that. I mean, I know Deion is who he is, but he's got to repent for telling that one. But
it's a big one.
But right. But the fact that he has come home now. Now, some people are going to say this. Some people are already saying that Avery Johnson needs to put some weight on him. Some people are already saying that Dylan Edwards. Basically, what they're saying is, how can K-State survive with two small guys in the backfield? Well, when I seen Avery in play, he looked pretty good to me. When I seen Dylan for the little bit of brief time that he got to play, he looked pretty good to me. All I want to say is welcome home. I think it's a good move. He's back where he should be. And it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out when K-State ironically plays Colorado, who's also coming back home to the Big 12. So it's going to be interesting to see how these scenarios play out.
It is, and don't forget DJ Giddens is there, and I would imagine DJ Giddens still gets the, you know, the larger share of carries. I cannot wait to see how they use Dylan Edwards, because I think, you know, it's not like you're going to have, you know, Dylan Edwards immediately step into this Deuce Vaughn role, which I understand because of stature, people's comparisons there. You know, K-State has a long history of running backs in this, we'll call it body type and skill set, that have been really,
Sproles.
Really successful. Yeah, Sproles and Deuce Vaughn, maybe their two best ever, both did that. But Dylan Edwards is just a little bit different, right? He is the fastest high school player I can recall seeing, just like to your eye, right? Quickness, speed.
Right.
He is number one. He and Breece Hall, honestly, are the two guys that explode the most that I've ever seen to my eye.
On a
high school football field. Avery Johnson's not far behind them, which is what's crazy. But
on that level,
he's going to get used. He's going to get used in a lot of different ways. DJ Giddens is really good. DJ Giddens ran for 1,200 yards last year and 10 touchdowns, averaged 5.5 yards a carry. This is the best news for DJ Giddens ever, right? Like, he's going to – this will open up the K-State offense in some really unique ways that I cannot wait to see how they do it. Now they've got, you know, new people in charge of the offense with Colin Klein out, but just to have that tandem back there, but Dylan Edwards can catch the ball, so they can line him up out wide.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be awesome to see how he fits in this year.
I think you'll see, I don't want to say more of a West Coast, but probably a spread offense type, to where you utilize your running back, but you also utilize Dylan, get him out in open space and let him do his damage, which is also will probably open up the vertical passing game as well, too, because now you have to worry about the running game. And if you put both of them in there, now you have to worry about the running game. You have to worry about, okay, what is Dylan going to do? Are they going to swing it out to him on like a halfback screen or a slot type? And then if you try to bring the defenders up to defend against that, now you got the vertical game and you pop one open over the top. So I'm glad to see him come back home. One question I do have, and I'm going to let you guys bring us a good show. I noticed the photo shot that they took of Dylan Edwards. Is K-State going to be coming off with the all-white uniforms? Just kind of curious about that.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it. His picture's there. The all-whites look good.
It doesn't change
a lot about the uniform as far as a great alternate. I think it's a great alternate, but I don't think we see him in that uniform in the pictures unless that's a uniform they're going to roll out this year, and I'm not sure.
Right.
I love that K-State stays traditional, but that is a nice variation of their traditional uniform. Yeah, it looks good.
Question, then I'm going to let you go. Do you like that look, or do you like what Ron Prince had introduced back in the day when he brought in the purple pants? And I'm going to let you answer.
I didn't even see that uniform. Let me look and see if I can find that all purple. Ugh, I don't think I would like that just off the top of my head. Let me see if I can find an image of that real quick. So I don't see one, quickly. So I would tell you though, that I highly, highly doubt, that I would like that more than what we've gotten these all whites. These all whites look good. I mean, I'm seeing a variation of it, but I don't think it was real. I think it was somebody just imagining up what that would look like. All whites are going to be a nice look. And just introducing the white more, even if it's white pants and stuff, white helmet, that's all going to look good. Anthony, we appreciate the call, helping us get started here on Sports Daily. It is a big signing. I love that it's happening, because Dylan Edwards always felt like a K-State guy, back from his original commitment. I understand the reasonings behind him ending up at Colorado. I understand him leaving Colorado. And I understand the need and the desire after doing it for a year to come back home, basically, and play with your buddy. I mean, Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards have a chance to do something very special that teammates, I think, that have been friends and teammates, you know, a lot of their lives, and they were rivals in high school because they went to different schools. And I just retweeted TJ Cleland, 12 News, just put out a great video of just one of the all-time games where those two were just going blow for blow. But you can see that. I just retweeted that. They have a chance to do something special, and the story is written. Like, it's already written. They can succeed, and it's there, right? Childhood friends on the same team doing these amazing things, and they are a good fit together. That's what's crazy. They're a good fit together. Teams cannot sell out now against K-State, against Avery Johnson, against DJ Giddens to some degree, and against Dylan Edwards. And, you know, at minimum, it gives Avery Johnson another passing option, which we're still asking a few questions about and wondering, like, how is that room going to come together? But it looks like it will be pretty good for K-State. So, yeah, we'll get more into that. We'll get Tommy connected here in just a little bit. But, you know, it is a very noteworthy thing that happened over the weekend that could have just massive implications. So we'll get into it. When we come back, though, we'll dig into the draft a little bit. And let's start with the Chiefs specifically. What they did, what we liked, what they're still lacking. It's all there for us. We'll take a look at that when we return. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. I want to remind you that Royals baseball on KFH is available for free on the Odyssey app. You can tune into KFH for Royals Toronto at 7 o'clock after the Wichita State Coaches Show with Brian Green tonight at 6. Download the Odyssey app, search for KFH. You can also go to kfhradio.com. Catch the live stream. Thanks for listening to that right now, if you are. Thanks for watching us as well on our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Sorry, not Twitch, X now. So good stuff here. We'll come back a little Chiefs draft talk when we return on Sports Daily.
KFH.
ESPN Bet, ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Taking a stroll through ESPN Bet right now. You can get the Royals tonight on the money line at plus money. Jonathan Bolin filling in for Alec Marsh. Remember, they just took 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays. Now they got to go to Toronto. But if you think they can maybe continue that recent good fortune against Toronto, you can get them plus money tonight. I'm actually interested. There's an odds boost on there tonight for the Braves, the Padres, and the Dodgers to all win. Parlayed into a plus 480 bet. I might actually hit that one. That's pretty interesting to me because all three of those teams are at least even money to win, if not favored, with decent pitching matchups. So that's probably what I'll take a swing at tonight on ESPN Bet, is that little MLB odds booster right there at the top of the app. Tommy, we talked a little bit about Dylan Edwards there. Let's get into the Chiefs draft here because, you know, a lot of people, when we talked Friday, it was the Xavier Worthy trade. I think generally people liked what the Chiefs got there. They moved up. They got a player they clearly identified. I think the reviews on him as a prospect are generally pretty mixed. I've seen him all over the place, quite frankly. He is far from, you know, everybody's favorite receiver in this draft. He just does a thing really well. Now, I'll say that, and again, I'm victim to this because I usually get biased toward Big 12 players, especially Big 12 receivers. But I loved watching Worthy play in college. He was dominant, which I think matters. He's obviously fast. There are some sort of shadows of Mecole Hardman in here, too, as much as there are Tyreek Hill, where it's like, oh, this guy's really fast. Let's just take him. But I don't think taking him was nearly Well, one, I don't think taking him was a reach. Taking Mecole Hardman was a reach at the time. Like, they way overdrafted Hardman. I don't think they overdrafted Worthy. It just sort of comes down to what you think of him as a player. And what's really interesting, long story short here, Tommy, is we sort of trust the Chiefs with offensive lineman evaluations, right? So, like, them evaluating, and apparently Brett Veach had been connected to the tackle out of BYU for a long time. Them evaluating him, moving up to get him, makes you feel like he's probably a good player, right? Receiver hasn't really been that way. Rashee Rice is a good pick. Other than that, they've missed a lot at receiver in the draft in recent years, just in evaluating receivers in general in recent years. So you don't get that same sort of benefit of the doubt when it comes to the Chiefs evaluating receivers. But they did get, in the first two rounds, two guys they clearly liked, which is what we wanted the whole time, right? Go up, be aggressive, and get the players you like. Clearly they did, because they traded up to play to take both of those players.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend, and we were talking about that pick of Xavier Worthy, and his point was, well, look, I mean, the good thing about them drafting a really, really fast guy like Xavier Worthy is that they already have a really, really fast guy in Hollywood Brown on the roster that then, you know, it can maybe take a little bit of pressure off of Xavier Worthy. He doesn't have to be the only fast guy and can have some time to develop. My rebuttal to that, really like Xavier Worthy, was that when they drafted Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill was still on the roster. And so they drafted a really, really fast guy, but they had a really, really fast guy on. Also, and Mecole Hardman didn't develop into this, you know, superstar wide receiver one that I think a lot of people were hoping that he would be, the heir apparent to Tyreek Hill. So, you know, I do think that there is some historical precedent in that. And I just think that it's going to be important for Kansas City to recognize what they have in Xavier Worthy. And I agree with you. They've not drafted wide receivers well, overwhelmingly, over the last several years. It's just one thing that they haven't really done well. It'll be interesting to see if Worthy can kind of
I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's better than Mecole Hardman. Like, if we're talking about prospect to prospect, like, I like him significantly more than Mecole Hardman. I just, you know, was he my favorite receiver in the draft? No, but they weren't going to get one of those guys anyway. I'm fine with that pick. I think it helps you, honestly, as much as anything else. It helps you if Hollywood Brown is awesome and you can't afford to keep him next year. I do think there was a little of that baked into this pick. And we got to remember, too, like, Tyreek Hill was not a year one superstar. You could see flashes, right? But it didn't happen right away for him. And I honestly don't think there's a ton of pressure on Worthy to be a superstar. I think he is going to be put in a position where they're looking for basically what they were hoping, I think, out of Kadarius Toney. Honestly, like, get him the ball, I don't know, four times a game and see if he can and sort of break one loose and then see where it develops from there. Rashee Rice is the guy. He's the guy that's going to take the volume because we know he can do that already. And, you know, for however much time he misses next year, time will tell on that. We'll just have to see. But I don't know that there's a ton of pressure on Worthy to be that good next year. They need him to be good in 2 years when Hollywood Brown is hopefully awesome this year, right, and then moves on. But the Chiefs had a really fast guy in the offense for the last 2 years in Marquez Valdes-Scantling and couldn't catch the ball. So, you know, there are a lot of different ways to utilize a talent like that. And I think there's very little pressure on Worthy, like almost none in this first season. I really believe that. So do they need another veteran wide receiver? Probably wouldn't hurt if they can afford it, right? Because I do think Worthy's going to not just like immediately be a, you know, starting opposite of Rashee Rice in this offense and Hollywood Brown. Like, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden run three wide receiver sets and then run Worthy out there every play, even though they took him in the first round. And traditionally you might see that. I doubt it, right? I don't think they're going to do that. He'll be the fourth passing option, right? Yeah, in this offense, maybe third. It'll probably be third. It'll go Rice, Kelsey for sure. But then it's probably going Kelsey, Rice, Hollywood, Worthy. That's what I mean. When everyone talked about such a need at receiver, I'm like, do they really need a receiver? Whoever it is isn't going to be one of the top three passing options on this team. But if Hollywood Brown leaves, I totally get it, right? He fits that same type of profile. He can come along. I get it. I don't have any problem with the pick. Because, Tommy, in the second round, they aggressively move again to get a tackle, which means, A, they really like the tackle. Kingsley Suamataya. It's going to take a while to get that right, probably, but I'll take that swing at it. But a BYU guy, another Big 12 guy, a ton of size. I have seen now in the aftermath that Brett Veach had been tied to him a lot, which means they liked him, and I'm good with that. That, to me, that tells me they identified a player. They did both of the things we wanted to see them do. They still have to get the players right, but at least strategically, they did exactly what we thought they should do.
Yeah, and you know, after that second round pick, you know, I'm not sure now if they're going to go out and try to get a Band-Aid, a veteran left tackle. I'm not sure that that's really going to be in the cards. It wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs roll with Wanya Morris in week one as their starter and then, you know, try to integrate Suamatu into the rotation, you know, and wouldn't shock me one bit if at some point in the season, if he develops and progresses in the way they would like him to, he ultimately takes over as the starting left tackle for Kansas City. I have a hard time thinking at this point, you know, that they would go and spend money on a veteran left tackle. I would have been more on that camp that they probably would go and do that if they had used a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick on a left tackle. But going up and getting him in the second round and trading up for him means that they think he's going to be the left tackle of the future.
For sure. I mean, that's big time draft capital, right? They didn't make that lightly. What was the exact pick number? 63. So they moved up two spots to take him, three spots, kind of like they did with the receiver.
It was only a couple.
But it was a guy they wanted to make sure they would get. And, you know, the Chiefs, I don't think, had my favorite draft, but I love what they did in the draft. I don't really know any of the other. I don't know Kingsley Suamataya. I don't know anything about him, right? I have no idea, except he played for a good team. He's big, and the Chiefs like him. I don't really remember Jared Wiley at TCU. He is a monster, by the way. He's going to block.
Yeah, he's one of the best blocking tight ends,
right?
I think, in college football.
Which is interesting, which helps if you're thin at tackle, Tommy,
yep,
a little bit. Run some two tight end sets and give a little help over there on the left side. So that actually makes some sense to me. But I don't see that and think he's like the heir apparent to Travis Kelce. He won't be that, I don't think. It's the Jaden Hicks pick that really has people in love with this draft for the Chiefs. I can't tell you how many times I've seen draft evaluators say this was their favorite safety in the draft. I don't know why he fell to the fourth round. I didn't watch a lot of Washington State football, a little bit. Certainly wasn't paying close attention to their safeties. But apparently this guy who's got size was a lot of people's favorite safety in this draft. Guess where the Chiefs get him? Out of that Bills trade, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you believe in these things, then that probably means he'll be a great player. But that is another spot where if you're, you know, I don't know what his skill set will allow him to do or how they fit him into the rotation. But there was a lot of drafting for the future and not necessarily this year in this draft. What are the chances, you know, we see any of these players as key contributors? And then in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round, by the way, they take linebacker, corner, linebacker, again, positions of need, don't know anything about any of the players. But Hicks maybe plays right away. Maybe he also is an heir apparent and a depth piece. It feels like this draft could pay real benefits in 2025, Tommy. But in 2024, I don't know what it will do. I mean, I think the best chance for a big-time contributor right away is Suamataya. I mean, certainly there is a chance Worthy does that. I do think people maybe have their eyes a little too wide on Worthy this year. But these are all players I think that could help them fill roles when players that are currently on the roster ultimately leave. And that's an interesting thing for this draft class. That I think, you know, it's not going to be the one next year where we look at this class and be like, home run, home run, home run. It'll be one we look at in a few years and think that.
And that's not uncommon. I mean, look at their draft a year ago. Outside of Rashee Rice, who was a key contributor last year? I mean, Felix Anudike Uzomah wasn't really. He got some reps and he was kind of forced into action late in the season. But he wasn't, you know, like this revelation, even as a first round draft pick last year. I think the fact that the Chiefs didn't attack edge in this year's draft means that they do still like FAU, you know, to be a guy that can come in and contribute at a high level next season and beyond. But really, outside of Rashee Rice in last year's draft class, there really wasn't any major key contributors. Wanya Morris was in last year's draft, and he wasn't really a massive key contributor. And then from there, you go further down the draft from last year. Chimari Connor got a little bit, you know, of action last year, and then really we didn't hear from the other guys, you know, much at all last season for Kansas City. So, you know, that's not uncommon. I think that we'll probably see that a little bit more so with this year's draft class than we did last year.
You got to look, too, at last year if you are, right? Wanya Morris, this could be his year. Did they do the same thing there with Felix Anyedike Uzomah? You know, I don't know that anybody else out of the class last year is going to step up, but they might. They're going to need a corner. They took a few of them last year. But Morris and, yeah, FAU and Morris are the two guys you would really look at this year to see and if that works out. I hope Worthy and steps in right away and can play. I think that's unlikely, and I hope people don't have unreasonable expectations for him. They don't need him to do that. They haven't needed any wide receiver to do that. I mean, I don't think you're going to run out there and say Worthy and Hollywood Brown if Rashee Rice misses time or how they're going to fix that. So I don't know if they're – but they also have Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. And I know, again, that makes people cringe, but the reality is they spent a lot on those two players too. They are not ready to give up on those two players. It wouldn't make any sense to give up on those two players. So they're fine there. Worthy, project. I don't know about the BYU left tackle. Left tackle is a tough position that translates. So can they start him at right tackle? I don't know. But, I mean, he's the one that would be the most needed to step in right away, I would guess. Or maybe, you know what, Tommy, they took Wanya Morris in the third round last year. Maybe Wanya Morris is going to take a big step.
Maybe they don't want to pull the plug on that. And I get that.
I don't think they want to pull the plug at all. I think it's more of, do they want to put all their eggs in that basket? Wanya Morris was okay, right? Like I think the arrow's still pointed up slightly with him. It's just, what's the ceiling? Is the ceiling an everyday starting tackle, or is it a rotational guy? Because rotational guys are critical in the NFL. Offensive linemen are hurt as much as any player in the league. But I thought the Chiefs did a good job. I brought this up, Tommy, before you hopped on here. All but one of their picks came at one point in time from a various trade. They had one pick that didn't come from a trade at some point in time in this draft. That's pretty wild. Everything else moved around a little bit. So we like what the Chiefs did strategically. Who had your favorite draft, would you say, if it's not the Chiefs? Maybe it is the Chiefs. Who had your favorite draft?
I think that the Vikings had a really good draft. That's a team that I look at that, you know, had some substantial needs. And I think that they got themselves to a point to where, you know, they're not going to be the favorites in their division, but I think that they can certainly be a team that, you know, they're not going to be irrelevant. At least I don't think so next year. And they needed to do that with the loss of Kirk Cousins, you know, being able to go out there and still build around, you know, Justin Jefferson. And then with the free agent signings that they had and that sort of thing, I think I'm probably going to go Vikings probably as my favorite pick.
So the Lions were graded out very highly by a lot, because I just went and tried to like soak it all in. A lot of people really like what the Lions did, but I got to be honest, the Lions have a lot of players I don't really know because they didn't take, you know, headline stealing guys. I'll give you two, and I liked the Chiefs draft, but I'll give you two others I really liked. Love what the Eagles did. If the Eagles are right on one, if not both, of the two corners, they took Quinyon Mitchell and they took Cooper DeJean.
I like Quinyon Mitchell. I like both of those guys.
I do too, quite a bit. You know, Shipley from Clemson, we know a little about, you know, probably a handy player. I don't know a ton about the rest of their draft, but I know I really like those two corners. And that team, I don't remember a good team being as bad at one position as Philly was at that spot last year. So you talk about like quickly potentially fixing a problem. They may have done that. So I love what Philly did. And Chiefs fans may not like this. I'm with you on the Vikings, by the way. I think that one's a given because I think they got, you know, a quarterback that fits perfectly and what a lot of people consider the best defensive player in the draft. How could you not like that? The other one that I haven't heard a lot of people grade out well that I really liked was the Chargers, Tommy. Alt, who was, you know, one of, if not the best tackle in the draft. So that's never a bad thing, right? Ladd McConkey in the second feels really good for them. They got to replace Keenan Allen. And, you know, what Keenan Allen did is sort of this safety blanket and just, you know, caught a ton of passes. I think that's what a lot of people envision Ladd McConkey out of Georgia doing in the NFL. Different size, obviously, but, you know, kind of a really, really good route runner that can get into the slot and help him out. I really like that fit there. So I liked what the Chargers did. And they had a ton of picks, by the way, for a roster that needed a little rebuilding. So I thought they did a good job, too. Let's go to the IHOP hotline before we switch gears and take a little break. We'll go to Fred, wants to talk about Xavier Worthy. Fred, welcome into Sports Daily. What's on your mind on this Monday?
Well, a couple things. I've watched film on Worthy running routes, and in my opinion, he's going to be a day one starter. He is not just a field stretcher. He can run those routes and run them with speed and cut without losing his speed. He is an excellent wide receiver selection, I think. And then I want to make a comment on the sixth round pick, the Haddon kid. He got his shoulder hurt and operated on, but he's, you know, after the seventh game or in the seventh game against Alabama. But he is rated as the second best corner in the SEC and listed as a shutdown corner. And he was also rated number five in the country as a shutdown corner. So, and you haven't heard much about him, but if he's able to play right away, or even mid year, he's going to play some because he's obviously you don't get second in the SAT or fifth in the nation as a shutdown corner unless you can play some. So you haven't heard much about it, but I think he was a heck of a steal for us in the sixth round, probably because of his injury. But those are my two comments.
I mean, could be. You can say hell of a pick too, Fred, just by the way. It'd be okay. I don't know.
Well, I don't. Said it.
I know. You're good. You're good. That one we can do. We can do that one. Unless Jad has already shut down the broadcast here because you and I are in trouble. No, you're good there. I would ask you this, Fred. I am curious if you see Worthy as a starter, where as a starter?
Well, I think
are the Chiefs running? Are the Chiefs running
receiver? But
are the Chiefs running 11 personnel, do you think, which means they would run three wide receivers out there, which they could? I'm curious to know what people think about that. So if they do, is he wide receiver three? And the reason I ask that is I'm almost certain if they run 11 personnel and run three wide that Hollywood Brown and Rashi Rice are going to have to be on the outside. And then so is Worthy out of the slot? Are either one of those other players capable of playing out of the slot? I'm not sure. That's why I'm curious about that. I also think early on in the season, they may run a little 12 personnel and run two tight ends out there. So that's where I'm saying, like, I don't know where he starts, if he starts, because if he does, that means you're sitting Hollywood Brown or Rashi Rice in two wide situations.
Well, Rice may not be available for 6 weeks or six games or so.
He'll miss time. He'll absolutely miss time. We don't know when or how much, but he will miss time. Yeah. I agree. But I'm saying when if we're talking about the next Super Bowl when they're trying to win a game, right? Is it a three wide set? Are they comfortable enough with left tackle to do that? I think you got to just everybody hang tight because I don't think Worthy stepping in week one and doing what we've seen Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or Puka Nacua or some of these other, you know, first round wide receivers in their rookie years light the world on fire. Tank Dell. Like, I don't think that's going to happen for Worthy right out of the gates that way, because I don't think they have a place for him that way right now.
there's one more thought for you. You got Brown, and he's got some speed. But if you only have to defend against one guy who's a burner, you got a better chance of doing it. But you put two guys on there that can go, one of them with world-class speed that nobody can match, who can play outside or the slot. It's going to be difficult. There was one general manager who I read said when we drafted Worthy, F... me. Because he was going to have to put together a defense to defend against that kind of speed. So, the coach, Reed, can conjure up all kinds of ways to use multiple speeds. And don't forget, we got that rugby player who's not slow. He was clocked at 22.7 miles per hour, top end. I don't think his 40 time is quite as hot, but his top end speed is, and I can see him being used as a kick returner, and Worthy as a punt returner. So I don't know. I read a lot about it every day. I think I'm addicted to it, but
we all are. We all are, Fred. It's okay. It's all right.
I use it as an excuse because I have to drink my coffee for breakfast, and so I get to sit for 30 minutes and read about the Chiefs. Anyway,
there
I'll let you go. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Fred. There's a lot of good stuff there, Fred. I appreciate that call. It's a good call. If he can return, that's a bonus. I don't know if he can. I'm not sure.
I think he can. And the only thing, and I love all of the attributes about Worthy and everything that he brings to the table. The upside is clearly there. So I don't want to be negative about the pick. I like him. I like the pick. The only thing that I think is a little interesting is that we knew what the issues were with Kansas City's wide receiver core last season. It wasn't a lack of speed. That was not the issue with the wide receiver core. We know what the Chiefs prioritize, and that's speed. I'm surprised that after what they went through last season, they didn't prioritize ball handling a little bit more, catching the football a little bit more. Not that Xavier Worthy can't
Worthy
do it.
Worthy has a drop issue. That's
the only thing that I've gone back on slightly.
Worthy has some drop issues. I really think this is a pick that's more 2 years down the road. I think that's when we'll see Worthy, if he's going to be great. But he can certainly be useful this year. And how they use him will be fascinating. How they're even able to use him, right? Because we all want, like, Hollywood Brown is good. Hollywood Brown's a good player, right? And, and they needs to be good this year more than Worthy needs to be good this year, I think. Maybe Worthy's just a superstar and proves us all wrong. I'm not sure that that's the case. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about that and other things. We'll get to some Royals baseball from over the weekend as well as we make our way through. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily. And we'll be right back on KFH.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Crestview Country Club over at the restaurant has some delicious soup, Tommy. You and I are both members over there. I love their soup. I love their clam chowder. Good soup story for you. I know how much you love soup. So, meal prepping last night, which I do. And it's not always soup, but sometimes it is. I let my daughter pick the recipe. She picks like an Instapot because she knows how to help me cook in that thing. So she gets this recipe for chicken enchilada soup. And I'm like, oh, it'll be good. I've had that, you know, different places. It'll be good. So we get there. We're going through. One of the ingredients here is something that, you know, I was like, we're going to have to really shop for this at the grocery store because I don't know exactly what this is. It was something like chipotle chilies in adobo sauce. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So we get it. We get to the store. She finds it. She's very proud of herself. It comes in one of those little cans, you know, like you get green chilies in, like the smaller can.
Yeah.
And so we're making the soup, and we're going through, and most of the things in these recipes just call for the whole can of whatever it is. Like, so we're putting in the cans. I open it up. We dump the can in. Everything's good. We get done. A lot of seeds in there when I pull the lid back off the Instapot. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. We get everybody. We're all trying it. Mom's at work, so it's just me and the kids.
first bite, it's like, oh man, that's spicy. And I'm like, shh, it's not spicy. It's just hot. Like, don't scare your brother and sister. Then they start eating it. So turns out that can that I put in was supposed to only be 2 teaspoons of this sauce. I've dumped the whole can in there and we're dying. Like, all of us eating it. Like, dying. And I was so proud of my kids because they're trying to power through it. One of my girls was like, oh, if you just dip your tongue in the milk and hold it there, it makes the sting go away. Like, and they did it. Like, they really did power through and get most of it. I've never been more proud. But then I had to tell them what, like, spicy butt is. I'm like, don't be scared later if you go to the bathroom. And it doesn't. So it was a great experience, a great proud moment for me. And now I have to wolf down this fat because I'm not going to waste it. I'm not throwing this away of one of the spiciest things I've ever eaten in my life. I will be eating all of that now because I don't think my kids are going to help with it anymore.
I'm sure there's some kind of remedy, something you could put in there to take it down a notch.
I don't know, but I think I can like pull the, like, sift the ingredients out of it and dump it in and just kind of leave the juice, and it would
but
probably be all right.
But now it's just like been marinating in that for,
I know, it's not going to be better the second day. No. Yeah, it's not. It was so damn hot. But my kids powered through it. They really did try to eat it. I was so proud of them. And we all made it through the night, so we lived. But yeah, read the recipe a little bit closer. Go to Crestview. Their soup's good. You don't have to worry about that stuff. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two, we'll talk a little Royals baseball. We'll dig further into the draft. Biggest head scratchers. Now moving forward, what questions were created for teams out of the draft? We've been through the Chiefs. What about the rest of the league? We'll get into all of it as we make our way through Sports Daily.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily. Thanks for tuning in. Here on KFH, you can also listen to us, of course, on our audio stream at kfhradio.com. Not in your car and want to keep listening, that's the best way to do it. The Odyssey app available for you as well. Just search KFH. You can watch our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. Love that. Lots of different ways to take in the show. We appreciate it, whatever it is. You can get in touch with the show. A couple of good calls today so far on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. Love hearing from you, especially coming out of the draft. What do you think about that? We'll get back into the Dylan Edwards signing, our commitment to K-State we talked about right off the top of the show. Get Tommy's take on that. And let's talk some Kansas City Royals. Love it here, Tommy, this time of year. Now we're through the draft. We can evaluate this. And baseball, this is the point, I think, where baseball really gets locked in. Of course, you've got the NBA playoffs. I'm not quite there yet with the NBA playoffs. But, you know, so it is what it is. Royals drop 2 of 3 from Detroit. So far in this stretch of games that we've talked about that started on April 19th and will end on May 8th, sort of what we've identified as a really, really tough part of the schedule. The Royals drop 2 of 3 from Baltimore, take 3 of 4 from Toronto, and drop 2 of 3 at Detroit. That puts them at, what, 5-5, I believe, so far through the first 10 games of this thing. We said we'd like to see them get through this at least 500, and so far they're doing that. They had some opportunities there against Detroit, but couldn't get it done. Not bad. Not terrible. Went up against a really good pitcher on Sunday. Saturday, the bullpen, Stratton just had had one of those nuclear meltdown kind of games. That was the disappointing one, certainly. But otherwise, 5-5 through the first 10 here feels fine. Feels fine.
Yeah, it's what we wanted to see from them through this difficult stretch. I was hoping that they would be able to gain a little bit of ground on the Guardians. this weekend. The Guardians were playing my Braves, and so I was checking out both of those series, you know, throughout the course of the weekend. And the Braves were able to take two of three or three of four from the Guardians. They won the series over the weekend, which was great, but the Royals weren't able to really gain any ground on the Guardians. So that was a little bit disappointing. But other than that, I mean, I think that the Royals, you know, really with what our expectations were over this 2.5 week span, going on the road, playing some more difficult opponents, 5-5, I think you feel okay about. Tonight is going to be a challenge, considering they don't have Alec Marsh, considering that, you know, they're going to, you know, have the spot starter, you know, take the bump for them. So that's going to be a challenge as you open up that series in Toronto. So I don't have incredibly high expectations. I know you were talking about ESPN Bet in the last hour and about how you can get the Royals on plus money tonight. That's not surprising at all to me, considering they don't have Alec Marsh taking the bump. You're going to have to get some offense going in the game if you want to get a chance to win this game and then really be able to kind of turn it over to the bullpen and have the bullpen be effective.
That is not a bet I would make, by the way. If I was going to attack that, and I didn't look at the over-under, if I was going to try to play the game tonight, I would attack over under. I can't take a guy in Jonathan Bolin who's come up and just kind of gotten shelled in the one very small opportunity he's had before. But I'd be more interested in the over 8.5 if I was gonna go with this game. So I'm with you there. I don't think that it's the spot tonight where you're looking for a win. Right now, you get the Berríos-Reagans rematch tomorrow, which is really exciting. And then you get Lugo on the bump for that third game. So collectively here, when you've got Reagans and Lugo pitching in a series, Tommy, I do think it's fine to say, even on the road, that you'd like to see the Royals win this series. I do think that's fair because they do have their two top guys in the rotation. And yeah, they're going against Berríos. Can they do it again? I'm not sure. They barely did it last time. Remember, that was a rain-shortened game where both the starting pitchers, Reagans and Berríos, were both really good. But, you know, anything today feels like icing on the cake. I wouldn't overthink today. I mean, it is what it is. You hope the offense can bail you out a little bit, right?
Yeah, and to my point, as far as tonight's game is concerned, you know, they do have some halfway decent quality long relievers that they could turn the ball over to if Bolin struggles early on in the game. I'm thinking of guys like Angel Zerpa and Matt Sauer, Tyler Duffy. Those guys, you know, could take the ball to be able to get them at least to the late innings. And so that's going to be, you know, I think essential for their chances in tonight's game as they kick off this series. And really, when it comes down to it, you know, they were able to get, you know, 8 runs on the board to kick off the Detroit series on the road on Friday, 5 runs on Saturday, but then really, you know, the offense kind of went quiet yesterday. So that's kind of been the storyline recently, is that the pitching overall has been solid and quality. They just have had a hard time really getting runs across the board.
Yeah. But I feel better about the offense than I thought I would at the same time. Garcia's starting to hit a little bit again. Salvi looks awesome. And then you got Witt and Pascantino. So your top four are going to be good. It's what can you get from the rest of the lineup. And I'll be curious to see if they just keep running it out there with that top of the lineup so loaded like it is. And then, or do they try to spread that out? And I'm not even sure you could do that. I do think they do need a little more offense, certainly. But if we're being real honest about the offense, it would appear right now, Tommy, that the top four spots in the order are going to be good. I think if you asked us, any of us, that before the season started, it'd be like, yeah, I'll take that. You know, like that's fine. Like if those four are good, then I'll take that. Because those four, they're not just good. Like they're like real good, right? Mikel Garcia's maybe a little bit of an overreach on that, but maybe not either. When he's going, he's pretty dang good. But Pascantino looks good, and Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. look like all-stars. So is that enough? It probably is if their starting pitching continues to pitch well. I mean, it really is. It probably is enough for now. They'll need to add a bat. I mean, I think that's the biggest need right now for them, is to add a bat.
Everybody needs a relief pitcher. Every team in baseball needs a relief pitcher at the deadline. But I don't think it's, I mean, what are we now? We're through the first month of the season. We'll get through May. And once we get through May, if they're in the same position, I think they can start to, they can begin the process of shopping around a little bit and seeing what's out there as far as a bat goes.
You know, I also think that if you can put this in historical context to talk about Royals teams of the past, I mean, even when you look at the better teams, the best teams even that the Royals have put out on the field in the month of April over the years, I read over the weekend that, you know, they need one more win tonight or tomorrow night, and they'll have more wins in the month of April than any other Royals team, even the ones that we have considered some of the all-time great Royals squads. If they win both of them, well, then, you know, you've got 19 games that you've won since the season has started. That's, you know, that's huge. That's a big, you know, stat for Kansas City. I am absolutely expecting, I know we're talking about tonight's game, really, you know, laser focused in on that, but tomorrow night, I'm really expecting Cole Reagans to have a great game pitching. And the reason I say that is because on Thursday in the final game of the rainout series in Kansas City, he pitched really well. It was probably his best outing of the young season so far. And the game was called after five. So he was able to, you know, really not have a huge workload in that final game. It was a day game. And then he should be pretty well rested as he leads up to the game tomorrow night. So I'm expecting him to come out and look really good. Hopefully he can build on what he did on Thursday and follow it up with an even better performance tomorrow night.
And let's remember, he's had one bad start all year. He's had three, we'll call it, great starts, one awful start. And I mean, like, bad. And then some others that you're fine with, right? And you know, we're six times now. He's going to make his seventh start of the season. I think the return on Reagans living up to what he started last year has been really good. I'm fine, like, with because they're not all quality starts, but they're pretty close to it in what he's done in every other game but that one. If you're telling me that we're going to get five out of six essentially quality starts out of Reagans every time, I'm fine. All good, right? Like that's no issue. The offense, I'm with you there. We'll see. Look, this Toronto series feels a little bit bigger because after Toronto comes, you know, Texas and Milwaukee. And Texas right now isn't what it will be later on in the year when they get all their pitching back. So maybe there's an opportunity still there on Texas, but Milwaukee looks really good. The starting pitching lines up moderately well for them over those six games, but Toronto feels like the real opportunity here. You got Lugo and Reagans going in two of these games. So let's go try to get two out of three, because you might not get, you know, four out of six against Texas and Milwaukee, even though those are home games, and that should help. It's been good. I'm not disappointed in the weekend at all. I wish they could have got one more. I wish they wouldn't have fallen apart in that second game of the series against Detroit. Feel a whole lot better. But they're hanging in there, and this stretch that we've identified as probably a toughest stretch in the schedule as they'll see all year, they're doing fine.
They are, and I think that really from my perspective offensively, they could absolutely use another bat. My concern is less about the pop in their lineup, and it's more about the consistency of their lineup. And that's really, I think, what it comes down to. It's that, you know, they've got... And I know you highlighted the top four in the lineup, and that's all well and good. You know, I think that they've got some pop in other places as well. That's not necessarily a concern.
Yeah.
It's just how consistent can the lower right. half of the lineup be? You know, and we've seen them be kind of a roller coaster off, independent of who the opposing pitcher is. But, you know, it's been, we'll see, you know, flashes of them putting up a bunch of runs, and then they'll just kind of go quiet for a couple of games. So I think that as forward, if they're a team that we really want to consider as a legitimate playoff team, a legitimate contender potentially in the AL Central, you've got to see more consistency, I think, coming out of the bottom half of the lineup. Because really at that point, that's who you're going to be leaning on. You know exactly, you know, what the top four are going to get you. And then late in the season, you better believe that pitchers are going to adjust to a point to where you know, and they're probably already doing this to an extent, not giving Bobby Witt Jr. a lot of good balls to look at. Same thing with Salvi, you know, other things like that. So you've got to have a little bit more consistency from the bottom half of your lineup.
They are right now like 25th, I think, in batting average, certainly bottom half in OPS. You know, if I'm looking at runs, they're top half, which is good. But that, of course, comes in. There's a lot of factors there with like games played, but they haven't played the most games. So, you know, they're scoring runs. Let's look at home runs, kind of look at their pop a little bit here. They are bottom half there. Kind of square in the middle, I should say, on that. And then stolen bases, that's where, like, you kind of need to kick it old school a little bit. What's really interesting about the stolen base stat, which they are sixth right now, like, if you just, and this is, don't, like, read too much into this, but if you look at the leaders in the league right now in stolen bases, you've got Cincinnati above 500, you've got Washington almost at 500, which has been a real surprise, I think, for them. You've got Milwaukee then, and Milwaukee's one of the better teams in baseball right now. Cleveland is in there. Obviously, we've talked about Cleveland's great start. Tampa, you know, they're under 500, but they're not one of the bad teams. Like, there is, we're kind of seeing this correlation, I think, a little bit in stolen bases to wins. You know, Philly's up there, Baltimore's up there. So I do like the fact that the Royals can and will run a lot. I think that's going to be one of the, you know, one of the things that takes them in is being aggressive. It's old school Royals. It's new school changes in baseball, right? Like, you know, they almost never get thrown out either, by the way, which is also really good. Their percentage on that is high. But when they're not going to be a team that probably leads the league in the power categories by any means, stealing some bases can help. Right now, maybe you don't need a double, you need a single. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting thing to watch, and I can't wait to watch this. And I haven't done this last year, like go through last year, but I'm going to watch that this year to see the teams that are running more. Is it correlating to wins? Because my guess is it probably is. And it's fun that this old school way of playing baseball is making this return. And that's something the Royals can do. You know, maybe they're not hitting for a ton of average. Maybe they're not doing any of these things. But maybe they're getting guys and runners in scoring position even after a single. And then maybe that's one way to correct the power deficiency that they're probably going to have no matter what, right? That's probably going to exist outside of those four guys we talked about. No big deal. We sort of expected that. Run the bases like this, and it could help. And that's something they're really good at.
It is. And that speed, I think, is going to be, you know, essential for them. And it reminds me a little bit, and I know they don't have, you know, I remember back to those World Series teams when they had, you know, guys like Terrence Gore, you know, and some of the other, like, speedsters. Like, that's not really, it's kind of a different way, I think, that the Royals are attacking this speed, because they're getting it from also the players that have the power too. You know, so that's a large part of it that I think is, you know, really important as they move forward. They've got to find those opportunities to where, if it's not going to be consistency from the bottom half of the lineup, at least getting on base and getting those guys into scoring position. By the time the lineup card turns over and you get back to, you know, your Bobby Witt Juniors and your Salvis and other guys like that to try to drive the runs in, that's going to be, I mean, it's easier said than done, but the recipe for success, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, no question. No question. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to the NFL draft a little bit here on KFH. On the way out, let's give something away. We've got some HTO iced tea, some free rain coffee to get you. You'll get one of each of those right now if you're the first caller to the IHOP hotline, available at either Wichita location or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. First caller will get those free drinks on us. We'll be back with more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here. We're just making our way through the weekend a little bit. Tommy, I see this morning, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you here. So the Cowboys signed Zeke Elliott. on a one-year deal. They don't draft a running back. I think Rico Dowdle is the leader in the clubhouse. Now, generally speaking, I'm not going to dog on the Cowboys for what they do in the draft. They've been one of the best drafting teams in the NFL for a long time.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Draft well, which makes it not make sense that they haven't been able to really build on anything. This offseason, though, has been one of the strangest I can remember. You probably recall how annoyed I was last offseason when they didn't do anything to make the roster better. Like nothing outside of the draft. They did nothing. What is going on with them in free agency? I don't understand. So then this offseason they come in. Jerry Jones talks all about, you know, we're going to make this thing better. They do nothing again in the offseason. They lose their defensive coordinator. They'll probably hit on some of their draft picks because they usually do. In fact, I loved their draft. They're the ones who took Cooper Beebe in the third round. They took offense. They could maybe have rebuilt their entire offensive line in one draft. They're going to be successful out of this draft. But they still don't. Like Zeke Elliott, that's what you're going to do at running back this year? You did nothing to help Dak in the pass game and you've lost Michael Gallup? Like what on earth do they think is going to happen? And they're going to come out and they're going to win a bunch of games because they still have CeeDee Lamb and they still have, this young tight end to send. They got a couple of good young tight ends and Dak is good. Is he great? I don't know. He's good though. Like they're going to win games. And then like, how do you look if Jerry Jones, you know, the clock is ticking here. You cannot look at this roster and say, yep, that's a Super Bowl winner. It doesn't make any sense. It's almost to me like they're setting up Dak to fail so they can move on this year. That's what it feels like to me. Like, how do you not help him at all on offense? Nothing.
I think they've helped to protect him a little bit. I mean, come
on. Through the draft, maybe.
Tyron Smith is gone, and you know he was injured last year. He's ancient as far as his age is concerned. They bring in Tyler Guyton, and I think that's a good first round pick.
Sure, you know, to get in there and try to help protect him. I like their draft.
So, I mean, but and I'm going to be a little bit, and I can't believe I'm doing this, a little bit of a Zeke apologist here for a second. He was pretty good in the final few games with the Patriots last year when he was called upon to step in for Ramondre Stevenson when Stevenson went down with that injury. He was effective for New England. He showed he had a little bit of gas left in the tank. Now, do I think that he's going to be like this, you know, world-class all-pro running back like he was in his first stint with Dallas? Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. I don't know why they decided to not pursue another running back in free agency. I know why they didn't in the draft. I read the article, kind of talking about why the Cowboys are bringing Ezekiel Elliott back. And it's just because of, you know, the way that the draft fell, there were no running backs that they liked or that were available. It was going to be a reach if they wanted to do that. They could have traded away, you know, to try to find some value in running back. They didn't do that. They held pat. So it's kind of like, you know, the prodigal son returns home. I just think you have to have adjusted and modified expectations for who Ezekiel Elliott is this time around. I think he can be effective, but not nearly the way that he used to be.
No, of course not. And it's fine. I don't mind bringing Zeke back, but they are going to need to run the ball. And it's Zeke, Rico Dowdle, and boy, I hope Deuce Vaughn can take a major step up this year.
He's still there.
Yeah, I know. And I'd root for him tremendously. But it doesn't make a lot of sense for a team who's done nothing to help. You've got CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, at least some version of Cooks, and then Jalen Brooks, Kevontae Turpin, and Jalen Tolbert. Now, he didn't show anything. They drafted him moderately high last year. But this has got Cowboys written all over it, right? Like, all these, like, oh, these guys, like, nobody, you know, we'll just get more out of all these players. They're missing so many. They don't even have a defensive end listed right now. And they drafted one. I guess they have DeMarcus Lawrence listed. And they're missing one on the other end, so maybe the rookie. I'm telling you, Tommy, just like last year, zero chance that the Cowboys win a Super Bowl next year. Not 1%, not 2%, 0%. They will not. And I don't know what they're doing. I've heard Vikings fans complain about treading water and like not being able to commit one way or the other. I don't understand what's happening if you're the Cowboys. Blow it up if you're going to blow it up. Or do something to at least try. They haven't in two off seasons. They've done nothing.
Well, and they didn't make any changes with the coaching staff either. That's one other thing, you know, to keep in mind. So it's like just, it's kind of standing pat. And I think that's, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of Cowboys fans. Like, I can understand why Cowboys fans just pull their hair out consistently, because it sort of seems like this team is just consistently on the fence. What direction do you want to go? They're not all in either way. They're not all in with let's build up a team right now to go and win it all. But then they're also not in the camp of let's tear the whole thing down and start over. That's why there's been so much intrigue back and forth on what's going to happen with Dak Prescott. Will he get along? I feel like we've been having this conversation for like 7 years now about how long it's going to take to get a new contract for Dak, or if he's going to get one at all. It's constantly the top story and the biggest storyline that drives this organization. And until there's long-term clarity on that, they've got one foot in and one foot out. They're never going to get anywhere.
Right. The most frustrating thing to me is if they would commit to the one foot in, they would have a chance, right? Like, I don't think McCarthy is the guy. Fine if you do. He got a lot out of Dak last year. But you're not either commit to winning, which is the famous line this offseason, or commit to rebuilding. You just can't do both at the same time. You can't. So if you're going to try to win, there were 90 great running backs on the free agent market this offseason that you could have had at a pretty good discount. Bring somebody in to help Dak run the ball, right? And help Dak create play action or whatever it is. There are still good receivers out on the market.
bring one of them in and give Dak another reliable target, another weapon to use in that offense. You have to. I mean, I'm not complaining about the Cowboys draft. I liked their draft just fine. They went and they identified a clear need, and everybody, they had to rebuild the offensive line. It's aging out. And they did that, potentially, with two longtime starters. I think Cooper Beebe, Tommy, and I know we're biased to Cooper Beebe. I think Cooper Beebe is going to be a good player for a long time. Most people say high floor, kind of low upside. I don't agree with that upside. I think he's got a chance to be a steamroller as a run blocker. And he's got all the intangible stuff you want, obviously. I love the Cooper Beebe pick. So I think they did fine in the draft. It's just, man, like the rest of this offseason, what are we doing here?
From a running back perspective, they did sign Royce Freeman to a one-year deal. So he's there. I mean, that doesn't move the needle at all, I don't think.
I'd rather have Zeke Elliott.
You know who I think, and this is something that maybe they would do at this point. I don't know, but I would be in support of this. There are a handful of free agent running backs that are still out there that you could look at. And I've gone through the list. I've looked at the different names. Dalvin Cook is out there. I don't think they need to go that direction necessarily. I'll tell you the one name that stands out to me, Jerick McKinnon. If they can get Jerick McKinnon on a one-year deal, then you're helping in the passing game because he's versatile in that way. I know he's a year older, and he dealt with some injuries last year, but he has shown that he is durable and he's still got gas left in the tank during his time with the Chiefs. I don't think you need another workhorse, ground and pound running back. So that's why I wouldn't necessarily do like a Dalvin Cook or somebody like that. But I do think that you could find a role in that running game for a guy like Jerick McKinnon next season that could actually help the Cowboys right away.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that pick. It just, again, is that going to help them win a Super Bowl? I would say no.
No.
It is not.
No, I don't think it will.
And if they're not doing everything they can to win a Super Bowl, what are they doing? It's either do everything you can to win a Super Bowl or go trade Dak Prescott and get some picks and try to rebuild this thing, right? Like just S or get off the pot, as my dad would say. One or the other. One or the other. Okay, a couple other draft classes here, Tommy, that I think are interesting. And a couple of teams. Buffalo. Lots been made of Buffalo and the trades they made to Kansas City. They do take a wide receiver with the first pick of the second round, Keon Coleman, who I don't think was – I mean, he's fine. He might be fine. I don't know. But he wasn't like a slam dunk. That's the only receiver, Tommy, that they took in the draft. That's it. Now – They are going to be tight end heavy, you'd think, this year, certainly. They don't have a lot. They can't be done at pass catcher, can they? I thought that they would take more receivers. I think they'd take more than one just to increase the likelihood that they would, hit on one of them. But right now, minus their top two, boy, I don't know. We're looking at a group, and I'm pulling it up right now. For Buffalo, for Josh Allen, a team that they don't even have their depth chart out right now. They haven't even listed it. They need something. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, they've got Curtis Samuel. He signed a 3-year deal with the Bills. So he's there. He's going to be on their depth chart. Mac Hollins, they also signed him for a 1-year, $3 million contract. So you've got a couple of veterans that have come in. Not like those guys. I mean, I would say that Samuel moves the needle. Mac Hollins.
Yeah, I like Samuel.
But
I like
You've got some depth there. If they decide that they feel like they need to have a little bit more veteran depth, there are still some, free agents that are available and out there that you could probably get for pennies on the dollar potentially. So that's something that I think about. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with a wide receiver room that includes Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, potentially. Obviously, they've got him that I think he could be a day one type guy. But, obviously, they don't have Diggs anymore. They don't have Davis anymore. They don't have McKenzie anymore. Like, they don't have any of those guys, that had been with them in the last couple of years. So I just don't exactly know what direction they're going to go if they're just going to stand pat.
It's going to be tricky. I like Khalil Shakir okay as a project. Curtis Samuel's going to have to be a starter there. Andy Isabella has had a bit of a flash. Again, I like Khalil Shakir. I just like there are a lot of veterans.
Make another signing, and this was just a day ago. Former Lions wide receiver Quintez Cephas. He was one of the ones that was suspended for betting the entire year last year. So he will be reinstated. Yeah. He could potentially hit the depth chart.
I do like Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox out there at the same time, both on the field. And then at that point you need two. And so maybe they think they're good. I just again, they're a team, and they're not the same as the Cowboys, right? Josh Allen is not the same as Dak Prescott. The Bills will never appear to be in a full rebuild because they've got Josh Allen, but they're at least doing something that looks like a rebuild all together. Like, it's pretty clear they're trying to retool this thing a little bit, right? The Cowboys are not clear on that at all. Are they trying to win right now? And of course the Bills are going to say they're trying to win, but our eyes tell us they're rebuilding a little bit. They're trading down, they're acquiring picks, they're trying to replenish this roster, and then they'll go attack it again probably next year, if I had to guess, and they'll see what happens this year, and who knows. Whereas the Cowboys feel like they're not going either direction. They're just sort of there, and they just let people leave, and they don't really bring anybody in. They're not really getting rid of anybody to acquire picks, or just kind of letting things expire out on them. So I don't know. The Bills, I thought, was an interesting class, though. We didn't talk about the Cardinals, Tommy. Not that we haven't talked about every team, we're not going to. The Cardinals made a ton of picks. I don't know how they ended up with 4 third-round picks. Probably a lot of movement and stuff. They made a ton of picks. And, Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top obviously highlights draft class, such a clear need and everything for them. They've got a chance, I think. But it makes me think of Kyler Murray. And, if things go well and they do a good job of retooling, where does Kyler Murray even sit for you? Is he a guy that you look at as like, yeah, I could see that guy winning a Super Bowl at some point if the circumstances were correct?
I mean, he doesn't strike me as that guy. I think that we would have seen larger steps forward by now in his career. We would have seen him take those necessary steps. And I know that the team around him hasn't been great. And that's been, I think, something that's kind of sheltered him over the course of his career, is just like, hey, look at the team around him. It's just not very good. But I just don't see him. He doesn't strike me as a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They've committed to him, though. They certainly believe that he is. I'm going to need to see a lot more from him. Or maybe with a better team and a guy like Marvin Jr. to throw the ball to, maybe he will take that step forward. I just think we would have probably seen it by now.
Yeah, I think I do too. He's had some injury issues. There was a time where he looked so good. The Broncos, we talked about the Chargers. I liked what the Chargers did in the draft. Were you in on the Chargers draft and sort of direction they're taking with Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah,
here?
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I mean, there, after all this speculation that, maybe the Chargers were potentially interested in moving away from Justin Herbert, it sounds like that was all totally squashed, and that there and they did confirm that there were a couple of teams, including the Vikings, and I think the Giants were the other team that reached out to them about a trade. Sounds like they shot it down immediately. So I do like that recommitment, to Justin Herbert. And I like the fact that they went offensive line to protect him in the first round. I just wonder about, the weapons that he's got around him. Eckler's gone and the wide receivers are gone. Like, what are you going to do, if you don't really have anybody else to throw the ball to?
I love reading on the alt pick. He's the best tackle in the class, but is he a stylistic fit for LA here? And I'm like, he's a left tackle. They need to protect Justin Herbert. Who cares? Is he the best tackle? Take the best tackle. The Broncos, as we said, just a quick browse of the AFC West. Are you surprised at all that the Broncos still have Surtain and Cortland Sutton after that smoke a little bit? Those guys were available last year at the deadline, and then we had more, rumors that either one of those guys might be up for a trade leading up to the draft. They didn't, and they didn't really move up to, they took Knicks where they stood. They didn't acquire, they didn't acquire anything, any other picks. I thought theirs was curious. Not that I don't like it. I mean, I don't like the Bo Nix pick, but I don't,
I'm also a little confused on their direction right now and what they're doing. I thought they had a chance to sort of do a light blow up and rebuild here, and it kind of seems like they're standing pat a little bit.
They are. I think that if you're going to go up and you're going to decide to reach for a quarterback in Bo Nix, and even if the opening day starter for Denver is Zach Wilson, I don't think it will be. I think that Peyton's going to go all in on Bo Nix on opening day. But regardless of who the quarterback is on opening day for the Broncos, I think it became pretty clear to them that you've got to give those guys something. You have to give them some kind of talent around them, you know, and Cortland Sutton is one of the better wide receivers out there. And so I get the whole thought of, look, we need to just have a total rebuild here. But you also don't want to set up, whether it's Nix or Wilson, to fail right away by having like absolutely no talent around them. So I do understand why they ultimately held pat.
So the other team in the division, quickly, the Raiders do not take any quarterback in the draft. So I guess it's the Gardner Minshew show, right? Which I don't hate that. Aiden O'Connell's there. I don't really have a thought on him, but if you didn't get one, and they got grifted a little bit with Atlanta taking Penix, I think, which how could you possibly see that coming? They just kind of said, you know what, we'll address it later. And I think that's the way you got to go if you're a team in the NFL. You know, if you don't waste your time with quarterbacks you don't think are going to be awesome. It's not even worth it. Like, go at it again next year. We know that at some point soon, Kirk Cousins is going to need a new place to play, right? That will be out there sometime soon. Probably Daniel Jones could be looking for a spot at some point soon. Maybe Dak Prescott could be looking for a job at some point in the near future. You know all that's out there. You're not going to win the Super Bowl this year if you're the Raiders. You're trying to build this thing up. Don't waste your time reaching, moving up, doing all those things for a quarterback that you don't love. I don't have a problem with that at all. I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to grade out all the players they drafted, but I don't have a problem with that strategy of just kicking that can down the road if you're the Raiders, because they weren't going to be in a position to do anything anyway.
Yeah, and I think that when you go through the first round, and we talked about it on Friday, the number of quarterbacks that were taken and just how, you know, even guys like Penix and Nix were definitely overreaches for the teams that took them. I think you get down to the Raiders, and they would have loved to have one of those guys, and they didn't end up with them. They didn't trade up for one, and then there was a big drop-off. So,
yeah,
I guess, yeah. I mean, you're probably looking at Gardner Minshew, and you know, I don't know if Aiden O'Connell is viable to do anything at quarterback for this team, but you know, it's gonna be a struggle for them, I think, to score points this season with who they've got.
I agree, and they lost Josh Jacobs too. So yeah, I agree. But at least they're admitting it, right? At least they're just sort of acknowledging it and headed. I feel like those teams typically come out of these things a little better. But we'll say that, you know, the Raiders don't have a great history of that in recent years. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue. Congratulations to Alex for winning the HTOTN coffee. We'll give some more away tomorrow. Don't go away. Albrecht and Castor coming right back. Tommy, we talked about this off the top. Get your take. Dylan Edwards headed to K-State. Man, I just love the way this opens up the offense. I think, you know, the initial excitement, people are like, oh, we've got the next, you know, Deuce Vaughn. We've got the next, you know, small-framed K-State running back, Darren Sproles, to be great. DJ Giddens is still there. I think this is just another weapon, and I think we're going to see some real versatility and explosiveness added to the offense, whether it's out of the backfield, whether it's out at wide receiver. I don't care what it is. It's just another explosive weapon for an explosive quarterback. And does it push K-State over the edge for you to make them the favorite in the league? Because it might for me.
he's super dynamic, and it's just, it's been such a winding, twisting road for him to get back to Manhattan. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the team that has been on him, you know, forever. I mean, for years and years, they have done everything that they possibly could to get Dylan Edwards to Manhattan. Then it didn't look like it was going to happen, and now he's here. And so it does, it feels good to get this done and taken care of. Now you gotta see him perform, and there were absolutely flashes of that with Colorado. You know, even early in the season, when things kicked off for the Buffaloes under Coach Prime, it was like, all right, this guy's the real deal. Then he sort of, you know, kind of went through some growing pains and that sort of thing. But I do think that he can be absolutely valuable for the Wildcats moving forward. So I'm excited about this. I really, really was impressed with what DJ Giddens did a year ago.
Yeah.
And, but I do think that, you know, you've got to look at this as an upgrade from DJ Giddens. Not that DJ Giddens perform at a high level, but when you've got a talent like Dylan Edwards coming in, I think you've found your number one running back, and Giddens can still have a role, but probably not as prominent as we saw last year.
I think Giddens will have more carries than Dylan Edwards, just outright carries. Dylan Edwards helps. Look, the other thing, like Ben Sinnott was just drafted. I don't want to overlook how important Sinnott has been over the years. Dylan Edwards just gives you another tool in the tool belt, however it is that it comes, right? Just another tool for this offense, which is going to look different. It doesn't have Colin Klein running the show anymore. It's got a new quarterback in Avery Johnson. It will look different. How does it look? Well, a running quarterback with a big arm having other options. Think about a defense now. You've already got to account for Avery's legs. What about just screen passes to Dylan Edwards, wherever that comes, whether he's in the slot or whatever? It's going to make it difficult for defenses. I love it. I think the addition makes them, again, just far more explosive offensively. We got a lot coming up on the network tonight. We'll come back. We'll wrap up. We'll tell you what it is next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.